Well, I'm wondering which way to discuss here, because we've got a story breaking that we're going to have to defend. One of the things that we've done, and there's quite a bit of difference between accusations made on the internet. One of the mistakes I think people have made is that a lot of people who consider themselves activists look at 9/11 as a seminal standalone event. And we have to admit here at Defend Today that without information that we get from sources that we work with within the government, that leak information to us, or from foreign intelligence agencies, and the only way we can use this information is if we have the ability to tell what's true or not true, to verify information, and we have that capability. It's taken years to develop, a lot of cash, but we're clearly able to make things available that others don't have. One of the problems we have, of course, is that within the U.S., within the West, there is no capacity for a justice system to interfere with massive treason, bribery, with moves against certainly the U.S. Constitution. We're finding slam dunk criminal cases against, and this is what I imagine you were talking about the last hour. In this case, we're going to be able to prove conclusively that Vice President Dick Cheney was directly involved in the planning and execution not only of 9/11, but had used the power of his office to go after CIA agents who were involved in an investigation against him. One of the reasons that I don't know how many people remember this, but Valerie Plame was a CIA agent involved in nuclear nonproliferation. And the stories that are going to be coming out the next couple of days are going to go into the past. They're going to go into 1998, 99, 2000. They're going to be talking about Africa, Niger, the country of Mauritius, the Polisarians, who are revolutionaries, Moors that live in a lot of things that won't begin to make a lot of sense until we put this in order. What Vice President Cheney had tried to do, and this is, we'll carry this just to a short extent, he had attempted to create a cover story to authorize the U.S. invasion of Iraq. And in doing so, he worked with a criminal organization within Italian intelligence, the same organization that had kidnapped and murdered Prime Minister Aldo Moro, and that had been involved in bombings of train stations and other public facilities under what was called Operation Gladio. That same organization was working with Dick Cheney and working with British intelligence as well, and was presenting evidence that the U.S. Gave to the United Nations, evidence long proven false, to go after the government of Iraq and to start the Iraq War and the invasion of Afghanistan. And while investigating this story, we came on CIA and Able Danger documents that conclusively prove that Pakistani, she's called the Queen of Al-Qaeda, Dr. Afia Siddiqui, who is imprisoned in the U.S., and Osama bin Laden, were both active agents of the Central Intelligence Agency that were betrayed by Dick Cheney because they held evidence that would send him to prison for his involvement in 9/11. Now, and I'm going to stop right there until we hit publish. But we have everything, and we have it proven rock solid. Jim, go ahead.
Well, that's it. And we won't add. We're still double, triple checking. It's a complicated story, and we always face a big challenge of how much to initially start with, because if you do too little, you really can't connect the dots. If you do something in two parts, you run into the problem. People catch part two, and when they read it, when it's been written that where they have to have read part one first, they're not going to get part two. So it's always a struggle once you get up past 1,500 words. I think we're at 2,000 words now. It's kind of overwhelming. But we have found, at least our VT readers have found, and we learned this from the comments, that when we do a really fact-packed piece where we lay the sources out and whatever, that it is overwhelming. But what they tell us they do is they go back and read it the second time and the third time. Once they get over that first read, is just kind of a warmer upper, and that they do get it. We found the readers are able to assemble the chronology on some of these things, if they're willing to put, you know, more time than your typical quick read in. So that's what Gordon has done, and Gordon can probably do that better than anybody that I know, because you can very easily just pack these things with a bunch of stuff, and people will just read it, and if you tested them afterwards, you could just find out they just don't get it. It's just so overwhelming. And this is a very, very complicated story. All your good scams really are. They're designed to be very complicated, so they're hard to investigate. And even if somebody comes out and tries to tell the story, they know from the past that, you know, as long as the vast majority of people don't understand it and can't figure it out, it doesn't really make that much difference if the story gets out. It's only a big problem if the story gets legs. And so what we have to do is make sure on our work is that we tell it in a way where it can be understood, and then we count on the readers to pass it around. Because with the blackout that we have on VT, we are definitely in the word of mouth business. And of course, we do try to use our foreign outlets to drop some of this stuff initially and then bring it out on VT. We like to put it in places where we know foreign intelligence, security, and diplomatic people, and we know all the media people that watch what everybody else is doing, that they will pick it up. That's our main audience. We want to know, we want to put it where everybody doing open source intelligence, where they have multi-million dollar budgets to hoover all the media to find out what stories are coming out on what. We want to make sure they know that we have this story out. And then we start getting some feedback from there.
Well, Jim, one of the things I want to mention, and for those of you in the audience, I don't mean this in a bad way necessarily, but in writing a story like this, and we hope to have this to you after it, and we're going to be releasing it probably in the Russian media initially, and we do that because the Russian media is followed by the U.S. intelligence agencies, and the easiest way for us to land things in the middle of the U.S. intelligence agencies and to get this shock effect, and the reason we're going for the shock effect is fairly simple. We just returned from Syria. I stood there next to a U.S. Military intelligence officer, sat across from Russian representatives, Syrian military, the representatives of more than a few other countries. We're not talking activists. We're talking military and intelligence personnel. And we sat down and made some startling admissions about shortfalls in the U.S. command structure. We made some serious accusations. And we did this in a way consistent with loyalty to the United States. You know,